start reading at verse number 8. We on back here? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, and this is what Peter wrote. He said, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Verse number 12. This is my heart this morning. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them, be established in the present truth. You think, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father. You know my heart. You know my ways. You know my getting down and my getting up. And Lord, not just mine, but everybody here. Lord, I pray today for your power, your spirit, to preach this message, Lord. I believe it's vital in 2019. I believe it's vital on this day in April the 28th. Lord, I pray for every heart that's here, that we not look to see who's not here and say that message should have went for them. But Lord, I pray that we all ask you, Lord, put us in the message. Lord, may you help me, Lord Father, and above all, don't let me preach this in the wrong spirit. Lord, I pray also too that we not receive it in the wrong spirit. Lord Father, we receive it in our heart, let it get in that good and honest ground. Lord Father, that it will produce the fruit. For I'm reminded, Lord Father, that you love us. I'm reminded, Lord God, that you're concerned about us. But I'm reminded also too, Lord, you want to use us. Lord, Father, so I pray. Above all things, glory, honor, and praise, and honor be given to your high and holy name. Forgive me if I failed you, Lord. The best of men is just man at best. Lord, we all are failures at one point in time. Lord, we've all missed the mark. Grace is sufficient, Lord. By helping us with your right hand and dust ourselves off. Lord, Father, if this message hits us, Lord, it will make the appropriate and positive response. Lord, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have a whole lot that I'd like to say, but that wouldn't be the message that God wants to give. I'm reminded in 2 Peter chapter number 1, he starts off talking about our faith. It's precious. That means it's costly. It's important. The faith that we have been given to us is above everything else. I'm reminded in the scriptures, Bible says, first thing I want to say is that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but it's supposed to be in the power of God. The difference there is a lot of people believe because the preacher says it. A lot of folks believe because mom and dad said it. A lot of people believe because grandma and grandpa said it. And I think those things are good, but they don't change a life just because mom and dad and preacher says it. That faith will change life because it will stand, it will rest in the power of God. The Apostle Paul wrote that to the Corinthian church in his first letter in the second chapter, the fifth verse. He said that your wisdom should not stand in men, or your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why? Because they had their hand-picked preachers who they like. They picked the ones that they want to listen to. They picked the ones that's got the message for them. In today's day and time, it's more prevalent now than it was back then. A lot of people has their own pick of preachers. They have their own pick of messages that they like. I've often said the favorite preacher that you ought to have is the one that God's got in front of you, giving you the message for your heart at that time. And I'm reminded that when God speaks, that we ought to give the more earnest heed to what He's saying. Can I say, well, a lot of folks will say, well, preacher, if I didn't hear it, I don't think God will judge me on that. May I remind everybody the books will be open, and that's what they'll be judged by. And these 66 books is what the Scripture says. My faith should not stand, because I got a Sunday school teacher who teaches well, and I think it's important that you have one. Your faith shouldn't stand because your youth pastor is faithful in the things of the gospel, and I think it's good, but that's not where your faith is supposed to stand. It's supposed to stand in the power of God. And can I say this? When the power of God, your faith is resting in the power that He yields, it will change your life. It'll change your life from what it used to be. It'll present a life that's wonderful and glorious. Oh, no, friend, don't think that I'm preaching a gospel and a faith that where you'll be perfect. But I am preaching a faith that will change your life, and preaching a faith that will cause you to come back to God when you ain't right. Somebody can say amen on that one. I find that second, that faith, the Bible says, without it is impossible to please God. For the Bible says, for any man, that also means a woman, for anyone to come unto Him must first believe that He is. That means He is the one. He is the God. He is the God that the Bible says. He is the God that created heaven and the earth. He's the God that also will send people to hell because they've died lost in their sin. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We can make the best of plans. We can do the best of scheduling. We can do all the research. We can do all the things that would warrant a positive outcome. But friend, my Bible tells me that without it, you ain't going to please Him no way, shape, or form. And I'm reminded that some people don't realize just how precious that faith is. That one, it should be in the power of God. That two, without it, you couldn't please God. And three, without that faith, you can't get saved. Most importantly, that faith that we have, that we're saved. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now here's the life-changing part. We've got a world today, and we've got a church world today where everybody preaches God loves, 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 loves. And that is absolutely correct. He loves, 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 loves. I want you to get that in your heart. He loves, 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 loves. He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved you so much that you shouldn't perish. But if you believe in Him, that you would have everlasting life. And can I say, but that belief is not just a factual thing. That belief is not because someone else believes it and you believe it to be true. That belief, and I hope you all take this the right way. And can I say this? There's many a people who's lived a faithful life. There's many a people in days gone by who's lived a faithful life and close to God who didn't even have a Bible. What did they have? They had a faith. And can I say our faith is special? It's different than any other faith. Because my Bible tells me, in the same Bible you're carrying, in James chapter number 2 and verse number 19, He said, if thou believest in God, if thou believest, thou doest well. He said, but the devils believe, and they tremble. So you believe in God, that's good, you do well. But He said, the devils believe too, so what's the difference between you and the devil's belief? Well, the devils believe, they tremble, but it won't change them from being a devil. But I'm reminded of the faith that God gives us. Changes from being a devil. I believe that the faith that God gives us will change us from a sinner. And I believe the faith that God gives us will change us from an old life into a life brand new. Now I'm reminded that the Scriptures are not written down for us just to acknowledge and say, yeah, that's right. And we love it when the preacher preaches on sin. We love it when it's generally. But friend, I'm finding that more and more in this old time way, I'm finding more and more that the patriarchs, what they had a faith that was unshakable. They had a faith that was undeniable. And they had a faith that was changing their life every day. Not only was their faith changing their life, but Brother Ronnie, it was changing the life of the other people that was around them. You say, preacher, how can that happen? Mark chapter number 2, the Bible says that when they were all gathered at the house that Jesus was in, it was noise that Jesus was in the house. What do you mean, preacher? Why, it was noise. Hey, there was people that was a-shouting. There was a people that was a-going telling. There was a people that was singing. Jesus is in the house. So much that four men said, you know what? We're going to grab a corner of this, our buddy, of this, our friend, of this, our family member. We're going to carry them all the way to that house. And when they got to the house, they didn't say, well, you know, he's here, and drop him off and walk away. But they said, no, we've got to get him all the way to Jesus. We've got to get him all the way into his presence. We can't get him to the front door. We can't get him to the church pew. But we've got to get him all the way to Jesus. What did they do? They climbed to the top of that house. They started pulling back the thatch, and started pulling back the clay tile. And they pulled it back big enough to get the bed through the hole. And then they was careful enough to lower them down in unison in the presence of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, by their faith, I have made thee whole. Oh, can I say today that faith is hard to find? Jesus was walking one day, and he was walking with Jairus, I do believe it was, to go heal his daughter. And they said, a centurion sent a servant and said, if you would speak the word, he said, my servant would be healed. Notice he didn't say, come and heal my servant. He said, if you would speak the word, my servant would be healed. And what did Jesus say? I have not found no faith like that in Israel. I have not found no faith like that in Israel. Can I say that the faith that we have been given, the faith that we have, the faith that God has placed in our heart, the Bible says that God hath given to every man a measure of faith. And by the word of God, it increases. Faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And I know some people wrestle with that scripture, and some folks wrestle with it, how it was back then, how it is now. How does it pertain to the days now? Well, friend, we're in the United States of America. You can go to Walmart, you can go to the dollar store, you can go anywhere and find yourself a Bible. There's no absence of finding a Bible, but there's a famine in our land, there's a drought in our land for hearing the word of God. Amos said back in the chapter number 8 of the Old Testament, he said, there'll come a day when there'll be a famine for hearing the word of God. Remember, God speaks through individuals. God speaks through his people. And Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1, in some times and diverse manners, the Lord spake unto our fathers by the prophets. But these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. Preacher, what is that? That's Old Testament law and prophets. What is his Son? New Testament, new covenant, grace through and by the church. And I find today's day and time that I'm looking out, and Brother Millard's been in this way a long, long time. But Brother Millard, you got to look around and say, there's a lot of people who's blind, and they have forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins. And can I say this? At one time in my Christian walk, I wrestled with that. I said, how can a person forget that they've been purged from their old sins? How can you forget to be saved? And then I got to a part of my Christian life where I'd say, well, the reason why they forgot is because they'd never been saved in the first place. And I tried everything I could. But then the Lord began to open up this scripture. The Lord began to open up for a second Peter. Can I say this? It's not very far in the scriptures to find one that is on fire for God. Do you find one that's not? It doesn't happen like that. It happens over a process of time. I find in all these things that I've given, all these things that God showed me, I find there's two things that's precious in this first chapter. And the first thing he talks about is our faith. Can I say your faith is so precious? It's the one thing that you do actually can put work into. You can't make grace increase. You can't make grace get any bigger. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Somebody say, hallelujah. It's great because God will always have enough grace. Can I say this? Your faith will not get no bigger. Your faith cannot get more. But there's things that you're supposed to be adding to your faith. Because the Bible says God given you a measure of faith. And then the other place in the Bible, it says that we are to be built up in our most holy faith. We are to exercise our faith. I find that faith is precious. But also in this same chapter, he says there's promises that are precious. The promise that he made in chapter number 3, he said, according to divine power, hath giving unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory. So everything that we need in all things has already been furnished. Can I say something? You ought to shout right there and say, hey, I am God, the best inheritance. You didn't work a dime. You didn't work a day. You didn't do nothing for it. Bless God, He's given it to everybody. He's given to all people. I find in this scripture when He says that He's given that, but in verse number 4, whereby did He give it? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Notice that all these things that He's given us through and by His great promise, through and by the knowledge of His Son, is so that we would escape the corruption of this world. The reason being the corruption of this world, the lust of our flesh teams up with the corruption of the world. And what's it do? It blinds us to the things that God wants to have for us. Can I say this? When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus says, you tell me I got to be born again. Jesus said, you can't even see the kingdom of God if you ain't been born again. I see so many people said, preacher, I did this, I did that, but there's no fruit. There's nothing showing from it. Now, I want to say this. Now, it may be kind of straight to say, but either you're saved today or you're lost. I know people get upset with this preacher. They say, how come you don't preach backsliding? It's an Old Testament doctrine, first of all. Second of all, man took that word and turned it into a Baptist doctrine that has polluted and has lied and has deceived people throughout generations. Can I say this? When Jesus died upon the cross, He said, it is. I want to tell you this, and some folks may not like it. And that Old Testament, Brother Eddie, to be a backslider didn't mean you stopped went going to church. It means you went after whoring after other gods. You got rid of your altar to God and worshiped and prayed to other gods. You got rid of your Bible and started reading something else. You went plumb the other way. And can I say, underneath that Old Testament covenant, it was the law of God trying to be implanted inside the man. But since Jesus died upon the cross and rose again, and the Holy Ghost has come back, can I say, it's not the outside trying to get in, it's the inside trying to get out. You said, preacher, you don't believe in backsliding? I didn't say I didn't believe in it. I said, men has took scriptures and twisted them and risked them. And this rededicating thing and all this other thing, I understand what you're meaning. But friend, there's nothing wrong. And I want to say this, you can put any tag onto it. You can put a catchphrase onto it. You're not going to bother me. You know what my heart is? It's that you just get right with God. Not because I need to have a notch in my side, Sister Vicky, to say, hey, everybody in church is right. Can I say this? I know what happens when your faith becomes blinded. I know what happens when you can't see afar off. You can't see the big picture. So when God's doing something in your life, your faith is not in the Lord. Your faith is in other things. And therefore, you can't see that God's going to give it to you good on down the road. So what do? You quit. You stop. You put the brakes on and say, I can't figure out what God's doing. Can I say something? That's what's wrong. You ain't supposed to be figuring out what God's doing. Say, well, preacher, I just can't see what God's got on the end of the road. You ain't supposed to see what God's got at the end of the road. You just see God at the end of the road. And too many times, I find that the step from being in the front pew to the back pew, to all the way out in the parking lot, all the way gone, I hope you're listening to me, Caleb Faulkner. I don't care if you're in the sound booth or you're on the front pew. Hey, you can be on the front pew here presently, but your heart and mind could be still out in the world because your faith is not in the Lord. I find that in Revelation chapter number 3, we find a church who cannot see. And their church's name is Laodicea. Because they've increased with goods. They have everything they need to have. We have need of nothing. Notice they said they have need of nothing. You know what they should have said? We need Jesus. Well, all we need is Jesus. No, they said we have need of nothing. And can I say this? When people sit in a church congregation, they hear preaching like this, you know what they do? Man, I come here to feel better about myself. Can I tell you something? Y'all not to feel better about yourself at all. Feel better about the one who lives inside of you, despite who you are. Hey, man, right there. And I find at Church of Laodicea, this is what they said. They said, we're poor, we're rich, we have need of nothing. And Jesus said, but you don't know that you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. He said, you don't see where you're at. You're trying to look at it through your eyes and you can't even see. You can't see the importance of putting the cell phone down. You can't see the importance of turning the TV off. You can't see the importance of turning the radio off. You can't see the importance of how you're supposed to walk, how you're supposed to dress. And some folks get upset when preachers preach like this. But friend, we've got a church world now where it's come as you are and leave as you was. No change, no happening, no God, no faith. But God loves me. Well, He loved you so much, He sent you to Mount Zion Baptist Church this morning to hear this message. You're blind. You're blind. I find that that church of Laodicea, they said they had no need of Jesus. That means their faith was blind. Can I say in the very first church He mentions is Ephesus? And Ephesus has all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. Brother Ronnie, they got the right doctrine, they got the right Bible, got the right preacher, got the right songbook, got the right dress. Hey, can I say this? I'm the first person. I was talking to a person this week. Y'all pray for me now. They said, I'm going to study out the Holy Ghost. I want to study out the Holy Ghost. I want to study out the Holy Ghost. I said, that's good. Study it out. They said, I want to find out what all He's doing, how's He doing this, and why He does this, and why He does this. I said, can I help you out with something? They said, yeah. I said, go to St. John, Gospel John, chapter number 16. Read them first 13 verses. That's the best place to start with the Holy Ghost. Because if the Holy Ghost ain't telling you about Jesus Christ, it ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost never promotes Jason. The Holy Ghost never promotes you. The Holy Ghost promotes Jesus Christ. And if you think that the Holy Ghost is going to give you some kind of gift to where you can promote your flesh, promote your self-worth, and promote your position in the church, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's some kind of anti-Christ ghost. The Holy Ghost bears witness of Jesus Christ, will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. I heard people say, well, preacher, I don't like him judgmental preachers. I've been called a judgmental preacher ever since I've been called. But can I say this? My Bible, chapter is over, says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Friend, I'm telling you, I think we don't need the sinners to get a vision of hell. I think the church members need to get a vision of hell. I don't think the world out there needs to realize how important God is. I think the church needs to remember how important God is. He says, you're blind. You can't see afar off. You can't see your steps. You can't see where you're going. You can't see the wrong decisions that you're making. But oh, you can see somebody else's. Right? Some folks in the Baptist church, some folks in our modern day church think that one of the gifts that they've been given by the Spirit is a critical spirit. That ain't a gift given by the Spirit. But many people possess it. Did you see what so-and-so did? Did you see how so-and-so was dressed? Did you see what they put on the social media? Ain't nothing burns me up than that. Can I say, I see this stuff. God help you if you're going to tell them to invite people to church on Sunday, then on Monday you're going to have a picture of you chugging beer and sitting in the bar and doing all that other stuff. And some people say, well, preacher, you know, you can take that stuff and pitch it out the window. Go find you a lost sinner. They'll even tell you the same thing. Hey, if them people's going to heaven, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't that right? Yeah. I've seen so many people said they saw the preachers and the deacons, Brother Eddie, sipping on a shot glass, toking on a number. Some of you young people may not know what that is. That means you hope you never know what it is. Since the preacher and the deacon did it, must be all right for the congregation to do. I find in that very same chapter, it tells you the things that you're supposed to add to your faith. You think this preacher's preaching from a soapbox. I found something in there that I'm lacking in a whole lot in. Can't stand it when God brings that temperance stuff up. I'm like, come on, God, I want to preach on the congregation, not me. But He points out what we're supposed to add to our faith. When you choose the world over God, you're blind. When you choose you rather run with the world than run with God, you're blind. But preacher, there's nothing to do at the house. Mom and Dad's a square. They ain't got no TV no more. Christian woke me up this morning as I was leaving. He said, you know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't just sat around and just sang songs of the hymn book. I said, hey, we need to. You said, preacher, ain't nobody can sing at my house. You be the first one to start her off. You keep practicing that. I'm going to tell you this. God will give you the tune, help you carry it, and help you sing it. We have mistaken that acceptance in the world means that we are right with God when we don't worry about it getting acceptance from God so we can fit into His plan. Because the world don't want you accepted by God. They want you accepted by Him. Y'all listen to the preacher? Now, I wanted to get in all kinds of things, but this is the crux of the whole message. I had a great big introduction. God shrunk down the introduction, so here's the message. You forgot you've been saved. You forgot you've been purged from your old sins. I said, preacher, how do you know? Because you all don't sing like it. You don't sing like you're saved. I'm not talking about on Sunday. I'm talking about during the week. Right? Don't get me wrong. I listen to some bluegrass. As long as it ain't got none of that nasty stuff in it, but just a little bit. I don't listen to Country Boy Can't Survive. What's his name? Yeah, I thought you'd get him real quick, Brother Eddie. I know it, Dave. I'm just teasing, Eddie. I know it just as well as Eddie. And I come from that generation. Me and Sister Amy, we come from that generation. Remember, Amy, they played them records backwards. It said Satan's in the record. He's got a subliminal message, and if you play it backwards, he talks to our kids. I went, you guys are whack jobs. Play it frontwards. And they was worried about the heavy metal band, Judas Priest. I mean, at least you knew what you was getting. Lord of mercy, that country music, man. You got drunk, lost your wife, lost your dog. I mean, if that didn't get you depressed and want to do something stupid, nothing else will. I grew up listening to George Jones and Don Williams and all that stuff. But can I say the only thing that's ever helped my heart was Amazing Grace. The only thing that ever blessed me was I'll Fly Away. And I ain't no different than you. But can I say this? When we forget we've been purged from our old sins, the first thing we start doing, we forget to sing. And it doesn't matter if we know the parts. If you don't know the tenor line and the bass line, and if you don't know the alto line and the lead line, it don't matter, because if you love the Lord, you just want to belt it out. There's a sister that I love with all my heart, and she, oh my gosh, bless her heart, she can't sing. God help her, she can't sing not one bit. But as soon as she said we're forming a choir, she beats everybody up in the choir. And if you get right next to her, God help her. But God hit me, He said, how come you don't sing like she does? My God, I can carry a tune. He said, no. You may sound good, but you don't look good on the inside. He said, she's beaming and glowing from head to toe, and she can't sing. She sounds like an ostrich trying to crow and got like a bullfrog's voice, like 10,000 octaves high. But she rears back and she belts it. When it comes to fellowshipping, you'll be the first one to leave. When it comes to mounting the Lord, you just soon go home. When it comes to do something other than Sundays and Wednesdays, you're like, I got plans. I got Levi. I signed Levi up for baseball. I thought it'd be better than having around all them video games, Brother Ronnie, so I put him in baseball. And I didn't pray about it. And that guy wants to tell me how much he's got my life all week long, so that I'm asking God to forgive me because I didn't pray about putting him in baseball. So he didn't go to baseball last week, and he didn't go to baseball yesterday because we had church. Just so you know, you reap what you sow. They canceled both of those games and got to reschedule them, so I ain't getting out of them. But when you're blind and you forget, and can I say this? Some of you forgot you've been purged, and I wonder if you even are saved. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself if you be in the faith. He says, prove yourself. Prove yourself. Not to me. Not to the church. But you got to prove it to yourself. Are you saved? I got one boy sitting back here in that computer chair that right now. Was it three times you said you got saved? You know why a lot of people have to get saved four and five, six times? Because faith is not demonstrated. Faith is not shown. You can't communicate faith. I can't tell you faith. It doesn't happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. My hope is in Christ, but I've never seen Him. But I've got faith. He saved my soul. It's sealed on the day of redemption. I can't see it with my natural eye, but I can see it with my eye of faith. I'm more saved now than I ever have been. Somebody say amen right now. If you'll have it, I'm already in heaven. This body's got to stay here and live out the rest of its life. And I still have a hope. My hope is an anchor that one day this body goes away and I get me a brand new body, making like unto Christ. And you say, preacher, why do you act the way that you do? Why do you get so excited? Because I have never forgotten. We was at that Jubilee. And Eddie Reed's the one I ever first heard sing it. And I don't think he's the first to sing, but he sang that song, Lord, I have not forgotten. Jesus, 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 only begotten. I was lost without hope. And then backup singers go, lost without hope. Till he saved my soul, saved my soul. Goes through all those things and he still says, I have not forgotten. See, I remember. I wasn't always this way. Drove by an old 78 black Camaro yesterday on the way to work at Camp Lebanon. Brother Ronnie, I remember all the stuff that I had was in the back of that Camaro, homeless, no place to go. Somebody helped me out. Put me in when they shouldn't have took me in. Mom and Dad couldn't help me. Nobody could help me. Somebody said, well, give them one more shot. I worked, Sister Vicky, got me a job, try to make something of my last name. I was raised that your last name is the most precious thing. And can I say that's something that still should be taught? Your last name does mean something. I know some people may think that's wrong, but Brother Ronnie, I was told that Faulkner, that's my name, I got to take care of my name. We always called it the Kentucky Mafia. Man, you messed the name up, man. You was in big trouble with the Godfather, which was my dad. But anyway, I tried to make my name where they'd say Jason Faulkner be some kind of respect, because before my name stood with sinners. Once before, my name stood with no good and worthless. So I worked. Got me a job. I worked. Got me a wife. Got me some kids. But I found that didn't make me complete. We got so many people nowadays, Brother Eddie, in the church house. That's trying, trying, trying. That bumper sticker, that T-shirt, try Jesus. If you don't like it, the devil will take you back. And I used to think that was funny. Well, that's wrong. You don't try Jesus. You trust Jesus. And when you trust him, you'll never want to go back. You'll never want to go back. But I find that we have forgotten that we've been purged from our sins. And I'll never forget that night before I got saved, I was trying to hide. Man, that was in the darkest part of my house with some headphones on, them old cassette tape headphones, Walkman, had an old Walkman. Listen to them Beacon Quartet singing, there stands a rose. Who was a Sharon? Scott, I couldn't escape it, couldn't get away from it. That next morning, had all I could stand, I stepped out, and can I say this? I know we all have pride. And I know some of you say, well, he ain't preaching to me. You's lying. Congregation, this beautiful congregation this size, these windows should crack from the praising that goes on for what God's done for us in this church house, the people that's here. And I'm not saying we're in trouble. I'm just saying it's real easy to go from Ephesus to Laodicea. Ephesus knew all the works, knew everything done, but he said, Jesus told me, I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. You've left your first love. He says, repent, do your first works. He didn't say the first work had to be redone. He says, repent and you do the first works. Now, I can remember this after I got saved, Greg. I left church, drove right back to church. Told the preacher who I wanted to fight, and then told Tammy's grandparents I got saved. One of them had tears in the eyes, and one had an eye of doubt. Give me that stink eye. I go, are you sure? Had to go to work that night, third shift. Waited all night long for the former cocaine dealer to come in on first shift, who's the one who was saved and witnessed Jesus Christ to me at work. And I went to him. I said, hey, I got saved. And I thought he'd shout. He didn't shout. I told God, I said, God, what's going on? He says, It's not whether or not if everybody else is excited. He says, I'm excited. And I loved you so much, and I still love you. And can I say this? How come you don't sing? How come you don't pray? How come you don't testify? How come you ain't excited? I hope you don't mind, sis. She testified a couple of Sundays ago, and I was like, ooh, I mean, I get to preach today. I could feel God moving. You, it was the Spirit. Don't take me wrong. It wasn't Alexis. It was the Spirit. God says, how come you didn't jump up? I believe there's sinners out there who need us so bad. But if we can't remember what excites us about the Lord, if we can't remember what excites us about this fellowship and relationship, He says, you got to do this. He says, you got to make your election and calling sure. That means you got to make sure you're saved. Not me. Got to make sure you're saved. You got to make sure you're saved. Why? It's not for me. I ain't saying this arrogantly. I've done come too far. I can't turn around now. This is the best life. I love this life. Can it get better? Yes. If I add to my faith, to knowledge, to virtue, virtue, to temperance, brotherly kindness, charity. Did I miss any of them, Brother Eddie? I got them, didn't I? Patient. Ah, see, you couldn't get patient enough to tell me after church. I ain't going to let her get one on me. That's Sister Becky. I'm joking. Patience. Can I say the first one it mentions, does it mention virtue's the first one? Isn't virtue the first one out of your faith virtue? Is that what it says? Is it? First one's virtue. Does anybody know what virtue is? It's godly character. It's a godly manner. That doesn't mean that you got to wear the skirt to the dirt and the blouse to the neck. That doesn't mean three-piece suit and dress shoes. But can I say something? Y'all may get mad at me on this one, but I got biblical proof. There was a garment change in that Old Testament. There was a garment change in that New Testament. We have to have that virtue, have to have that knowledge. Can I tell you this? That everything is based upon that faith you add into that faith. And you know that Peter said in the first chapter of his first letter, I do believe it was verse number 7, he said, think not that the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that's been tried in the fire. Why? That it may be presented blameless in the presence of our Lord. That it says that it be presented. Now, I got to read that. I got to read that right now. 1 Peter. You at first? Who's at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 7. He said that the trial of your faith being of much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That means your faith. Now, I want you to listen to this. Your faith should be more precious than Fort Knox. Thank you, Jeff. That's right. Our faith is more important than our paycheck. Our faith is more important than our home. And can I say this, y'all? You know how I said you can't communicate faith, you can't say it, you got to show it. So how you live your life is how you show how much faith you got. How strong is your faith? Have you added to your faith? Notice what he says. Be more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That means it's an everyday, all day, 365 day, because it's time to leave. But you know what I found? That when you add to your faith, that knowledge comes, because he done said he'd give you that precious promise. He'll give you that knowledge. He'll pass it through you, Brother Don. He'll give all that stuff to you. And you know what happens? You're about 80-some years old, if Lord allowed you to live that long, and you're sitting in the church pew, and there's some young people pass by and go, that's one of them saints, that's one of them powerful saints. They've stuck with the stuff. They've never ventured. They've never afraid. They still sing. They still pray. They still say, buck ups, young person. They say, keep on pressing on. Keep doing it. Keep plugging. Keep pressing. There's victory just ahead. The next mountain that we might climb, we'll see sweet heaven is in view. Notice that he said in verse number 8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hey, I ain't got to ask, ain't a single one of us ever seen Jesus? I'll never forget this. Is it the tradition in America that you ain't supposed to see the bride the night before, the day before the wedding? Isn't that the tradition and how it's supposed to be? And it's, oh, and I ain't saying this. I was excited to get married. I was. And I'm glad I'm married. I never forget, though, standing in that church. All my buddies, he said, here's the keys, that Z71 out there, and there's the back door. I said, you give me your truck? He said, no, dummy, just drive it. I was like, I forget it. I'll go ahead and get married. It's either Tammy or Chevrolet. So Tammy, one out. You got me, baby. But can I say this? If when she was in Tennessee with those kids, she's what I thought about. My kids is who I thought about. I haven't seen Jesus. I've never seen him, but since he saved my soul, that's who I think about. I haven't seen him, Scotty, but I love him. I don't know if the gates are pearl. That's what John said. I don't know if the walls are jasper. That's what John said. They may be even better than that. I don't know. But it's heaven, Sister Becky, because Jesus is there. The reason why I sing is because Jesus does care. When I was lost without hope, Jeffy took me in, brought me into his family, and saved me. Have I been perfect? No. But can I say this? If lost people don't see the church excited about Jesus, what would cause them to be excited about him? If lost people, and let's say this, if people who have, let's use the term, have backslid and need to rededicate their life, if they don't see the church excited, what would see them but their need to get right with the Lord? If my kids don't see Dad excited, and I almost danced a jig this morning in the dining room, in the kitchen, almost danced a jig. But I remember if I'd fell down, it'd take a tow truck to get me up, and I wouldn't be able to find a preacher in time. I don't know who to be left on. But he excites me. He still thrills me. Don't get me wrong. I get sideways sometimes, and I don't look. But I want to say this. There's some of you here underneath the sound of my voice. And you say, preacher, I'm saved. You can say you're saved, but you forgot you've been purged. You forgot that you are saved and what you've been saved from because he no longer got you. Now he said, make your election and call him. He said, for if you shall do this, if you do this, he says, you shall fall. Just thought I left you with no hope, here's your hope. Seek him diligently. That means you got to put some effort. Maybe you got to shed some tears. Maybe you got to do it all day. Maybe you got to do it all week. Maybe you got to do it all month. But isn't it better to do that than it is to sit back in the pew and say, yeah, I'm saved. No big deal. We'll sing when we get to heaven. Well, I'm going to say this. God's the one who's the author of salvation. I'm not. But ain't no apple tree producing persimmons. Ain't no peach tree producing bananas. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. You shall know them. You ain't got to measure up to me. Sister Vicky, if we had to measure everybody's, I'd probably be the last guy on the list who's the holiest. I fail him. I do. I get distracted. This message, like I said, I got wore out by the Lord all the way to Kentucky, all the way back. But I did find out one thing. The Bible says if you receive chastisement, you're the part of the family. He's my daddy. Now here's the thing that you're going to have to wrestle with now. Are you willing to swallow your pride? And say, I need to get right with the Lord. And here's how you know that you do, and you will, and what will happen. If you step out from your pew, you don't have to have, everybody says, well, you say you ain't got to be at the church, you can do it anytime you want to. Well, the Lord showed me something. If the Lord ain't dealing with the sinner now, he can deal with them out there. But if the Lord's dealing with the sinner now, he may not deal with them out there. I also found that the Lord can deal with the church member, the saved person, out there, maybe not in here. But I also found, too, that if he's dealing with you right now, he may not deal with you out there. Here's what I have found when you leave the church house, Brother Don. You leave this atmosphere. You get around people that you know, people that may not be as godly, people that may not be saved. You get around them, what happens? Your physical eye starts taking over your spiritual eye. And once it starts taking over your physical eye, that gets into your heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, so you use the mouth speak. See, what you're afraid of how what they'll accept you. And God's put on the back burner and say, well, if God will accept me, because, you know, God loves everybody, preacher. He's going to accept me. Will he? Did you accept the Lord, or did he accept you? Because I find he accepts no man's person. That means he accepts no man. Brother Ronnie, the only thing he accepts is his son. And what did his son do, Sister Vicky? He stood in my place. That's why I love him so much. That way, sink or swim, live or die. I've lost family. Tammy's lost family. I've lost friends. I've lost brethren. I've lost brothers in the Lord who say, I can't walk with you no more. Now, Scott, it hurts, breaks my heart. But if I can't walk with him, if he's not in my life, then there is no life. And if you can manage in this world without him, friends, you need these altars more than anybody. You need these altars more than anybody.